Today I want to go another step in life without limits. And I hear in life and traveling around and speaking to people, people say, I feel trapped in a situation. Have you ever felt trapped? Feel trapped in a situation where I just don't seem to be able to move forward. It's as if I'm stuck in place. Stuck in place. And I'm going nowhere fast. And there's a lot of people that I know are going nowhere fast. It's because they've left out an ingredient that's necessary for them to move forward. Stay with me. I hear them say, I feel confined. I feel restricted. I feel uncertain about which direction to take. I don't even know anymore. Has anybody ever said that? I just don't know anymore. Everything in my life, it feels out of balance, and I'm struggling to regain stability and clarity. I just don't feel free. Internally, I just don't feel free. That's the cry I hear. But look at this. Something we have quoted thousands of times, but I don't know if we really realize what it's saying. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 in the New International Version, now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is, King James says that Spirit, but the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. So if you don't feel freedom, you don't feel like you're going anywhere, then the Spirit of the Lord is not resident within you at the level He should be resident or dwelling within you. Because when He dwells within you, you're going to experience liberty. You're going to experience freedom. And I'm going to tell you that some of it's not your fault. It is the carnal mind. It's the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age that draws us away, keeps our minds captivated where we no longer see what God is wanting for us. This is important. You see, when the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you, it brings true freedom. Everybody say true freedom. It brings us freedom from the chains of sin and fear and condemnation. And condemnation is something we have to overcome because, you see, we start thinking, I'm not worthy. Let me just clear it up for you. You're not worthy. What? Let me say it again. You're not worthy, so go ahead and get that in your mind. None of us in here were worthy of that salvation. None of us. So I'm not worthy of it. But when you understand that His Spirit is not a spirit of condemnation, it's a spirit of freedom. It liberates us. Everybody say liberates. Because that which was held captive has been set free. Not because you're worthy, it's because He loved you enough to set you free. It liberates us to live in God's truth, walk in His purpose, and experience His peace. That's what He does. But this freedom I speak of isn't just about escaping. It's not just about escaping bondage or those things that have incarcerated you. It's about stepping into a life of joy and of hope and of divine purpose. You step into it. Where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Liberty to what? To grow, to worship, and to live fully as He intended. You have the right to worship. You have a right to praise God. And if you didn't feel anything a moment ago when you heard that last song, something's wrong. Because He entered in. He's here with me. me say this, the angel of God is standing beside me, and I know that. So whatever I say is of great importance because it can change your life. It's not just another Sunday school lesson. This is the Word of God to you, for you, that it might work through you. I can actually say in reading that verse that we read about liberty, I'm free at last, as they used to sing, praise God Almighty, I am free at last. Not because I'm worthy, but He was worthy. He gave His life so that I could be worthy. But Bishop, I don't understand why then with this verse and this reading and this understanding, why do I feel so confined and restricted? What's happening? What's going on? Well, here's the thought. Might help you a little bit. Perhaps you've allowed yourself to be imprisoned by your own thoughts. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So we imprison ourselves, Randy. We're afraid to praise God. We're afraid to worship. We're afraid to say amen or praise God because we don't want people to think we're putting on a show. Not realizing you're not putting on a show, you're lifting up praise to God. Let's work with this for a second. Y'all in a hurry today? No, good. We've allowed ourselves to be, we did it. We allowed ourselves to be imprisoned by what we're thinking about ourselves. What we're thinking about our church. What we're thinking about our assembly. What we're thinking about the move of God. We imprison ourselves. That's what's holding us. We're confined by limited thinking. Limited people will have limited thinking. That's why I will not hang around people that are negative. Because if you hang around people that are negative, it's going to rub off on you. You hang around sick people, you're going to get sick. It just happens. I won't get into that, but we start trading war stories, and the war stories get worse and worse and worse. By the way, let me give you a praise report. I was with James Payne this week. James, y'all may not know James. Some of y'all don't know him. But I knew more about his bio, but he's written 100 number one songs. 100. He's artists that sing it. You don't even know it's his song, but it's his songs. I think he's written out now. 2,800 songs. But here's the praise report. He went to the doctor and they said, you're going to die. Doc, don't ever say that to me. He said, you're going to die. They found a tumor in his intestines and it was about this big. They said, go and get your house in order. Was there anything I can do? He said, well, you can take some chemo, and that might restrict it for a while or whatever. The head oncologist in Vanderbilt or whatever that big medical school is up there in Tennessee, he said, I'll take the chemo. He said, before God, I was not sick one day. I didn't lose a hair on my head. But we all were praying for James. Recently, he just went to the doctor. They spent right at 3 hours doing MRIs and colonoscopies. I can even say it. Say it for me, Doc. Thank you. All those things, it took 3 hours. The doctor came in scratching his head. I don't know how to say this because I don't understand it. But there's no cancer in your body. He said in all that, he never stopped. He kept traveling, kept preaching, them telling him he needed to rest, he needed to stay home, he needed to take time off, he needed to get himself prepared. He said, but I couldn't stop doing what God asked me to do. Why did I mention this? Because he didn't limit himself in his thinking. Now, if it worked for James, It'll work for you. God help me. We're confined by limited thinking that constantly battles. It's those thoughts that's battling with our spirit. The spirit of Christ within us. The walls that restrict you, restrict me oftentimes. They may not be external, but ones we have built in our own mind. Walls we've built in our own minds. Walls of doubt, walls of fear, walls of, watch this word, hesitation. We built them. You say, the devil. No, the devil didn't build them. You built them. You sat around with your stinking thinking and built those walls in your mind. This is a pretty heavy message you're going to see in a minute. So walls of doubt and fear and hesitation. So you might feel restricted, not because of circumstance, but because fear of change. Here's another point. Because a fear of change has kept you from stepping into the freedom and possibilities God has for you. Fearful to step out into it. Fearful to step out of the boat as Peter did and walk on water with Christ. Just maybe, everybody say just maybe. I just give this for your thought. Just maybe you're fearful to walk into the uncertainty of where the Spirit is leading you. Because God says, let's go this way. God says, let's do this. And what do? We start questioning the move of God. We start questioning what God is saying. I will not fear. Say that with me. I will not fear because God is with me. Now that has to be more than a statement. It has to be something that's branded in your spirit. Based on this, Psalms 23 verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. You're with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what are you saying? God is far greater than the limited image we hold of Him. We hold a limited image of God. We've put Him on a flannel board and said this was what God looks like. And we've missed it because God is far greater than anything you've ever imagined. He's not just the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the eternal one existing before time itself. What do you mean? Let me just get this clear to you. He was before Alpha and He'll be here after the Omega. He was there before the beginning. He'll be here after the end. God is everything. God help me. He is eternal. He's the eternal one, existing before time itself. Before there was time, God was. He is the source. Say, He's my source. And that's fact. I wrote a song, God is my source and my strength now. Sang it for years. But God is my source. He is my sustainer. He's the ultimate reality beyond anything we can comprehend. God is more. God is more. God is more. Until you get that in your spirit, you'll sit there and just, all you'll do is be tired. The old lady said, I'm so tired. All you're going to do is be tired until you get that into your spirit. God is more. But the doctor said, but God is more. But the lawyer said, God is more. The tax collector said, but God is more. It doesn't matter what they said. It's a matter of what He said. And God is more. I could really preach here, but I'm trying to hold myself down. Because God is wanting to do something. I wish I could call every one of your names. It's good to see Frida here. God wants to do something far greater than you've ever imagined. But our limited thinking has stopped us. But when I say God is more, Randy, He's infinitely more. It's not a finite God. He's infinitely more. More than I could even put in my thoughts and think. I can't even imagine how great he really is. That's who lives with you and dwells with you, who drives to work with you in the morning. When you go on the job, that's who's with you. And if you don't believe it, you can ask some testimonies from some people, from Crystal and from Chris, different ones that I know, what God has done. And I told some people this week about what God has done for her. I won't mention that for her testimony. But you have to understand, this is not just a normal occurrence. It's something God has done. It's amazing how somebody else can be blessed and we don't praise God for it. We only want to praise when it happens for us. But let me just say this to you. This is a side note. You're not going to be blessed until you praise God for somebody else being blessed. Not going to happen. Am I right, brother? Praise? Absolutely. So he's more. Say it to me. God is more. Simply said, of all that I just said, God is more than what we've made him out to be in our mind. He's more. He's more. So we ask ourselves sometimes, I don't understand it. I feel confined. What I said, restricted. What's going on? Why do I feel this way? Well, maybe your feeler's off. Why am I feeling this way? What is happening? Why is this happening? Have you ever gone through something you wonder why it's happening? Some of the most major people in my life have gone through sicknesses in the last year. And it came to me this week, and I'll mention it in a moment, what happened, what God was trying to do. Why is this happening? Have you ever thought that you just might be out of position? What do you mean? Well, if you're playing a football game and you are in a key position, if you get out of position, you don't think the opposing team's going to know you're out of position, and they're going to run the play right at where you should be. Am I right or wrong? Basketball, football, doesn't matter. You get out of position and you're going to get scored on. Obviously, the Falcons do that a lot. You get out of position. As a matter of fact, watch the races. Some of you love NASCAR. You can have a fast car and a great driver, but if he gets out of position, he's going to lose the race. So they jockey for position. They jockey for position, trying to get in the right place at the right time so they can make their move. What's different with us? Absolutely nothing. You have to be in the right place at the right time, getting ready to go forward, getting ready for your blessing, get ready for the promise of God, but we're out of position and God cannot bless your mess. I'll get one clap. Thank you, sister. Everybody in here ought to be shouting today because the angel of God's with me. Listen, you can lie to me, but you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. We're out of position. What your experience might simply be, you need an adjustment. You go to the chiropractor, what does he do or she do? They adjust you, and it don't feel good. I've never gone in and said, man, I like me crack. Oh! Sometimes an adjustment doesn't feel good, but you need it to get it back in proper place. Am I right or wrong? So what do you mean by an adjustment? A season where God is aligning you. God will align you. You don't realize what he's doing because you're going through a misery in your mind wondering what in the hell is going on, but I won't say that. But I know you'd say it. I don't understand it. I can't get it in my mind. But God's trying to get you in a place, and we're fighting it every step of the way. Sonia, we fight it. We argue with God. We tell God how good we are. We need to quit telling God how good we are. He already knows you're a mess. And he knows you're a mess. He knows everything about you. So quit telling God how good you are and start talking about how good he is. But it's a season maybe where he's aligning you, Floyd. Getting you prepared. Stretching you. Preparing you for what's coming ahead. Because we don't see the end from the beginning. He does. So what you're going through, it's not chaos. It's His hand at work shaping you for far greater things. Now, if I were you, I'd really clap about that, because that's for you. God is shaping you for something far greater than you could ever imagine. Shaping you for greater things. How many people want greater things? So the Spirit, and I'm going to get to my point now. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's up to you. The Spirit of God spoke to me this week. Number one, let's tell you, I had a conference that I was going to go to. And I'm supposed to go to because I am a board member. But Alan gets in the way sometimes, and I said, I'm not going. I mean, I am not going. I have already made up my mind, told my wife, I'm not going. I'm not going. Read my lips. Not going. So come Wednesday, I'm not going. But my wife said to me, she said, I really think you need to go. I said, but I don't want to go. Or why don't you want to go? I just don't want to go. She says, well, I think you ought to go and you ought to leave now. I said, well, who you got coming over you don't want me to see? It was Steve, I think. That's a sad thing right there, buddy. You can't afford her, buddy. Trust me on that. I know we're laughing, but let's get it in our hearts. She said, I think you need to go now. And I said, good night. All right. I packed up a few things, threw in some clothes, and I didn't even put in the right stuff. Left out things that I needed. And took off. Drove several hours to get to the conference. Got there thinking, what am I doing? I don't even want to be here. Walked in the back door to a conference I didn't want to go to. All these preachers sitting there. And God, I sat down behind the head man, minded my own business, and God spoke to me. Minding my own business. So when God spoke to me, I said, okay, God, I think I heard you. Because I had some questions in my life, not knowing that there were people sitting there that were going through some similar things. I said, if this is you speaking to me, here I go playing Gideon. If this is you that's speaking to me, then have the head man ask me to say it. I'm thinking, I'm clear now, that won't happen. Because he ain't as spiritual as I am, and I know that. He had too much on his mind. He just had spinal surgery, so he was not in a good shape. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm not kidding, 5 minutes. He's got his neck brace on. I went, I came over and I knelt down beside him, which is a miracle, I could kneel. I knelt down beside him. He said, I really feel, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I really feel that you need to get up and preach. Now, I'm not prepared to preach. He gave me about, I don't know, 10 minutes lead time as I'm sitting there to get up and preach to these people. But what I was armed with was with the Word. Amen. And I knew it when I got up there. They said, we've never felt the anointing like that before. We felt the power of God when you stepped up into it. Why? Because when you follow the word, the power follows the word. So, he said, after that speaker gets through, I want you to go and do it. And he got up. I was supposed to just take the microphone and go. But he said, he gets up with his neck brace and all. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. And I don't want to miss God. But I really believe Bishop Meshuggah needs to speak. So I got up and God came down. Now, here's what he said. I was questioning some things, and there were other bishops there. I was preaching to some bishops. And I said, God just spoke to me, and this is what he wants you to hear today. When the Spirit of God gives you an assignment, there will always be in that assignment a realignment. And that's what he said to me. So whatever I've asked you to do, you've got to be in proper place, in proper position. There's going to be a realignment so that I can put you in that place. Now that message, you need to remember what I just said. You'll see it come to pass in the next few months. Because you can't do anything until I realign you. Until you allow realignment. Now there's people sitting here today. You're out of position. You may not be a bishop, but you need to understand, you need to be repositioned. If you're not going the way you want to go, you need to be repositioned. You need a realignment. If you want to go to the next level, if you want to go to the next dimension, and I don't know about anybody that doesn't want to do that, then you're going to have to be realigned. What you're feeling isn't chaos. It's God trying to move you. You wonder why you feel the way you feel? It's because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time doing what he's not asked you to do. And let me say this. I've done something for God now in this place for 40 years. And you know what? If I continue going on the way I'm going, if he doesn't want me to do it that way, I'm going against the word of God. I'm going against the will of God. So he says, son, if you're going to do what I ask you to do, there has to be a realignment. There has to be a realignment. Now let me say this to you. Here I'm going to bring it home to you. You may need a realignment with some of your friends. Because some of your friends you don't need. Oh, you still be nice to them, but you don't need their influence in your life. All they're doing is holding you down. Keeping you from your divine destiny. Keeping you from moving forward into what God wants you to obtain. How about that, your friends? Does anybody know somebody like that? Not y'all, but you know somebody that might have some people you don't need to. That doesn't mean you can't reach them for Christ. It means you don't need to let them influence you, Terry. How about a realignment with your attitude? Because some of us have terrible attitudes. I love Jesus, but I don't like you. Well, come on now. Your attitude is very important. And God might just want you to realign your attitude so he can use you in other areas. You say, no, God don't want to use me. He knows I'm hard-headed. That may be why he wants to use you. Because I am hard-headed. Matter of fact, he's worked on me for about a year now in certain things, and I didn't want to do it, and God kept every week would say, I want you to watch this now. Now, are you looking? Are you observing? God, I see it now. God, I see it. Somewhere you got to listen to God. So some of you, we need to work on our attitude. How about this one? We need a realignment with our habits, because some of your habits are not good habits. Unless your habit is to pray and to worship and to praise and to do good and to help others, you better work on your habits. Don't let, my daddy would not allow, if he drank coffee too much, he said, I will not drink coffee for a while. I want to prove that it doesn't control me. Whatever controls you is what you're of. How about this? You need a realignment with what you want and your desire. But God, this is what I want. God, you got to be in this because this is what I want. God said, but it's not what I want for you at this moment. I may have wanted it for you 10 years ago, 15 years ago, but you're past that season. It's time now to move where I want you to be. I can't use you as you are in that particular place. And some of you that way. It's my want, my desire. How about this? Maybe even your job. Maybe your job, you wonder, it's chaotic on the job. Have you ever thought God may not want you in that job? Why? Because He wants you to be a kingdom person. Meaning you are led by the King. And you are in covenant with the King. And because of that, He's got to put a little chaos, a little fire under your whatever, to get you to move. And all this is coming because of the Spirit of God. I preached it different there, but let me just tell you, God came down. Y'all are sitting here docile. They weren't. Then people were standing up. Preach it, Bishop! The more they did that, the hotter I got. How about your job, okay? How many of y'all felt some chaos in that? A little uneasiness in that? Well, maybe God's just trying to... Hey, have you ever watched an eagle with her eaglets? When she first has them, she puts all this soft stuff in the bottom of the nest. But as they get older, she starts taking that soft stuff out. And what is the bed underneath it? Thorns. She doesn't want them comfortable. She wants them to come out of the nest. Some of y'all need some thorns. Matter of fact, I'm going to have installed in these seats here some thorns so that whenever I want to get y'all up, I just press a button and you're going to hit the floor. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! So there, how about even your home where you live? Maybe God's trying to show you something different. And we're so limited in our thinking, we will not let God be God. Am I right or wrong? So to truly move forward, Dolores, to truly move forward, there must be a death to self. You have to die to self so He can live in you. It has to be a surrender of your personal desires, pride, and control. Listen, I lost my pride years ago. I used to be a proud person. Boy, God took me through a process where it just, man, He knows how to do it. Follow me. Dying to self is one of the most challenging and transformative journeys you'll ever undertake. Can I say that again? Dying to self is one of the most challenging and transformative journeys you'll ever undertake. But it is the gateway. It is the gateway to a life fully aligned with God's purpose and power. God's plan for any of us cannot be fulfilled until you're in alignment with His purpose. Assignment? You said, God, just tell me what to do. I'm listening, Lord. I'm a yielded vessel. And God tells you, and now you're going through all kinds of chaos because you want to stay exactly the way you're doing things. And God's saying, I can't do it like that. I've got to realign you. I got to reposition you. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? It's vital for you to see this. Because some of you need this. Because you're going through things and you can't figure it out. Maybe it's where you are. It's what you're doing. God is setting you up for a victory. God is setting you up for a miracle. The days of miracles are upon us. It started on me this week. There was a shift in me this week. When God spoke to me, He shifted me. When I got up before those people, it shifted me. And so many grand things. I mean, to be very honest with you, there's going to be some miracle services coming out of this around the country. It's coming. It's going to happen. And not just me. Several people in agreement with me came to me saying, "Man, my God, I've never seen you so anointed." Well, no, it's because I heard God and I am moving the way He wants me to move. I'm just telling you what was said. I got a text from one of them last night. "I can't believe, Bishop, you are amazing." No, I'm not amazing. God is amazing. God is amazing. James Payne, before I left, he put his arm around me. He said, "I don't know when it's going to happen, but me and you are going to do some things together." I already know that. I know what he's going to do. So we say we want a life without limits, but we put a limit on the one that can give us the life without limits. Does that make sense to anybody? We limit him, saying we want a life without limits, and he says, "I can't do it because you're not in proper position." That's why whenever anything starts to happen in my life, Damon, I'm going to ask God, "God, what do you want me to do here?" Now, I'm going to stop this right here because next week I'm going to do part two of this. I went past my time the other day. They put you on a timer there. And I went past my time. And the reason I went past my time, because I wanted to. I have a clock up in the ceilings so that you know when you should sit down. But I had a lot more to say and little time to say it. But I think I've hit the nail on the head here today to get you thinking, because I want to pray for you in just a moment. Miracles are not confined to the few. Miracles are for all. Miracles are for all. Miracles are not confined to the righteous, because whatever God touched becomes righteous. Does that make sense? I mean, think about this for a second. It'll mess with your theology. Jesus hanging on a cross. He turns to one of the thieves because they're railing at him. And one of the thieves says, "Don't you see this man has done nothing wrong? We deserve this. He doesn't deserve this." And he says to me, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, I want to be with you." And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now let me mess with your theology. Probably a drunkard. We know he was a thief and probably a murderer. Am I right or wrong? Now, come on, he was hanging on that cross. They weren't hanging up there for their... He was a thief, possibly a murderer, done all kinds of terrible things. Let me mess with your theology. He wasn't baptized. He wasn't slapped with oil. He wasn't knocked down and slain by the Spirit. But Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That shows you the power of the one I'm talking about. Because whatever he says is righteous, Doc, is righteous. Whatever he says is okay, is okay.